Thanksgiving, gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation. Those are four words, and as I spoke those four words, what first came into your mind? Do you remember the first word that I said? The first word that I said was thanksgiving. So what first comes into your mind whenever I say the word thanksgiving? Do you think of a holiday? Do you think of all the good times associated with the holiday called Thanksgiving? Maybe you think of the good food that we eat on Thanksgiving. Maybe you think of the family traditions that go right along with Thanksgiving. That's perhaps what many of you thought of when I said Thanksgiving. We realize Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday, is it? It is a holiday, but it shouldn't be just a holiday. Thanksgiving, as we look at that word, Thanksgiving should be a mindset, shouldn't it? Thanksgiving should be a characteristic behavior of ours. I said thanksgiving to begin with, but then I continued on with the words gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation. Now, if I just said thanksgiving, you may have thought of that holiday and all that goes along with it. And the holiday of Thanksgiving, we as believers, hopefully with that holiday of Thanksgiving, we are especially mindful of all that God has blessed us with, the many things that we are to be thankful for. And God is so good to us, isn't He? And hopefully on that day in November, that's called Thanksgiving, we are especially thankful to God for all that He has given us. But we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes during that holiday of Thanksgiving, we are distracted by other things, right? And we aren't perhaps focused on all of our blessings as much as we could be, because there are many things, especially maybe if you're thinking about the turkey, and you're thinking about the stuffing and the oven, and you're thinking about all the other things that has to be prepared for the Thanksgiving holiday. Maybe you're distracted, perhaps, from being especially thankful. But every single day is a day that we should be thankful, and we should be, you know, just abounding in Thanksgiving every single day. As we think about gratitude, thankfulness, and those four words that I said, thanksgiving, gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation, one of our first thoughts may be, well, I need to be more thankful. I realize I need to be more thankful. I'm not sure about you. Do you have that recognition ever? I need to be more thankful. Perhaps what came into your mind as I said those words, maybe what came to mind is, I am thankful for this or that. And you can fill in the blank. I am thankful for this or that today. Or perhaps what came to your mind whenever I said the words thanksgiving, gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation, maybe somebody came to your mind and you're thinking of a specific individual and you think, that person is especially thankful. You know, that's a characteristic of that person. Maybe you can put a name to that person. That person is thankful. Now, we have so much to be thankful for today, don't we? We could have a testimony service today, and you could tell me many of the things that you are thankful for, but we are blessed by God very richly, and we're just saying, count your blessings, and we could really just stop right here, and we could open it up, and everybody could share the blessings that God has bestowed upon us so richly. And we could talk about how I'm thankful for a place to live. You know, we take that for granted many times, don't we? But we should be very thankful. We have a place to live. Whenever it rained this morning, that's another thing to be thankful for, right? The rain. But whenever that rain came down, I imagine all of us heard the rain on the roof over our heads, right? We didn't actually feel the rain as we were sleeping. We woke up by the rain because we felt it. Because we had a place that we're sleeping. We're thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful today I have clothes to wear. You know, we take that for granted a lot of times too, don't we? But are we thankful for the clothes that we wear? We should be. We're thankful for the food to eat. And today is a special day. It's Father's Day. And so Jack was telling me how he's going to eat some steak today later on. His wife is going to treat him out to some good steak. And so we're thankful for the food to eat, no matter what kind of food it is. We should be thankful for it. Other blessings, other things to be thankful for. God has given us so many good friends and family. God has blessed us with beautiful summer days, right? Even though we might be tempted to complain when it's a little bit too warm to our liking. But God gives us beautiful summer days and blue skies and birds that call out with their special songs. God has given us health, right? And we might say, well, you know, I wish that my knee didn't hurt so much with arthritis, or I wish that, you know, I didn't have indigestion, or we could go on and on and on. But We should be thankful for the health God has given us. God has given us this church. That's something to be thankful for. God has given us eternal life if we have trusted in Jesus as our Savior. That is something to be very thankful for. We think about all the spiritual blessings that go along with our salvation. We must be thankful for those. So where do we even begin with our giving of thanks? And I've already mentioned a lot of things that we should be thankful for. But where do we begin? Where do we end? And really, there should be no end to our giving of thanks, right? We should continually, always be giving thanks. So much to be thankful for. So many things, so many people that should cause our hearts to be grateful and thankful and appreciative. Let me ask you a question. Is there a moment of any of our days that we shouldn't be thankful? Is there a moment in any of our days that we should not be thankful? Is there any reason at all that should give us, or that does give us, proper justification to be sad and gloomy and despondent without being thankful? Is there any justifiable reason for us not to be thankful? What's your thought there? There really is no justifiable reason for us not to be thankful for us to be thankful. There are no circumstances that are so terrible that any and all Thanksgiving is totally done away with. We can always be thankful, can't we? Even in the worst of circumstances, we have so much to be thankful for. And as we think about this, there's no reason so compelling, there's no circumstance so tragic that should prevent us from giving thanks to God for who He is and what He has done for us and the blessings He's given to us. So how many times, if we'd open up in our Bibles, how many times would we read a call to thanksgiving? And especially as we think about the Psalms, but other places in the Scriptures as well, we read time and time and time again, give thanks. Praise God for who He is and what He's done. And just by way of example, if we turn to Psalm 105, we read this in verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. We'd go two psalms later, Psalm 107 and verse 1, the psalmist says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And I could go on and on and on this morning with passages just like this. Time and time again, the psalmist calls upon the people of Israel to give thanks. And why should the people of Israel give God thanks? Well, as we've just read in Psalm 107 and verse 1, well, as we think about who God is good. God's mercy is everlasting. Those are two wonderful reasons to give God thanks. And we could go on, we could add to that, as we consider who God is, we could list some of His other attributes. This is what God is like. God is holy. Do we give God thanks that He is a holy God? That He is righteous? How else can we give God thanks? For what else? Well, God is a loving God. How thankful I am that God has loved me and God has loved you. God has loved the whole world. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God is a sovereign God. He is in control. I'm thankful that God is a wise God. He's a patient God. God is a gracious God. We can give thanks for all of these things and many more. Let us give thanks to God for the person He is. Let us give thanks to God for the great things He has done. God has done awe-inspiring things. He's done incredible things. And just think about this world He has created. And I realize this world is burdened by the curse of sin. But still, even this world burdened by the curse of sin, it's still an amazing world, isn't it? And to think, God, by the word of His mouth, created this entire world, this earth, but also the entire universe with its billions and billions of stars. God created it all, and how amazing it is. We should give God thanks for His creation. God has done great things for us. God did great things for Israel, and He still is doing great things for Israel, and He will yet do things for Israel. God has done great things for the church. We could say specifically for this church, God has done great things. We could go on and say how God has done great things for my family, And how he's done great things for me individually. And then we could go on and say, well, I know God has done great things for Linda and for Jack. And God has done great things for Cleve and for Anita. And we could go on. God has done great things. We should give thanks to God for who He is, for what He has done. But also we should give thanks to God for people. Are you thankful for people? We should be thankful for people. We should be thankful for the people that God has set over us in government. Now, that's not always easy, is it? Okay? But we should be thankful for the people God has set over us in government. We should be thankful for the spiritual lives, or the spiritual leaders, rather, the spiritual leaders that God has entrusted to the church, and how those spiritual leaders impact our lives. We should be thankful for family and friends. We should be thankful for our spiritual family. You know, if you have trusted in Jesus, you are part of a family, a big family. But even as we are gathered together here, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? We are part of the family of God. Part of this family is called Norwoodville Baptist Church. So much to be thankful for today. I hope that you can say today, honestly, I hope you can say, with no doubts in your minds, you can honestly say, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for what God has done, what He is doing, for what God will yet do. I hope that you can honestly say, I'm thankful for people, the people that God has put in authority over me, for the people that I interact with on a regular basis. I'm thankful for my friends and my family. I'm thankful for my spiritual family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's say, look to your right. Okay, do you see anybody on your right? Or look to your left. Do you see anybody on your left? Or I could say look behind you, but that might be a little bit more difficult. Or look in front of you. Hopefully you're all looking in front of you. But are you able to say honestly to the person that's either across from you or right beside you or behind you or in front of you, can you honestly say, I thank God for you? Can you honestly say to the person beside you or behind you or in front of you, can you honestly say, I thank God for you? I hope that you can honestly say that this morning. I want to tell you this morning, I thank God for you. As brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a special bond, isn't there? We should have a special thankfulness for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, what motivates that thankfulness? What should accompany that thankfulness that we have for one another as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ? What reasons can we give for our thankfulness to God for each other? Now, as we consider these questions, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 2 through 4 this morning. And in this passage, we find Paul and Silvanus and Timothy giving thanks for the believers in Thessalonica, the Thessalonian believers. And Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, they give thanks to God for the Thessalonians. They communicate their thankfulness with the Thessalonians as they write this letter and send it to them. And from what we read of their thanksgiving in 1 Thessalonians, we're able to observe three important truths. We'll be working through verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. But as we look at verse 2, we consider Paul and Silvanus and Timothy giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians. They made mention of the Thessalonians in their prayers. Come to verse 3. As they gave thanks for the Thessalonians, they remembered the Thessalonians and their work of faith, their labor of love, their endurance of hope. And as these three men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians, they knew the Thessalonians' election of God. That's verse 4. See, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians, and they did so in an informed way, in a thoughtful way. And we should do something very similar to that. Hopefully, honestly, we can say, I am thankful for the people around me, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am thankful for them, but we should be able to say, well, this is a reason why I am thankful. And this is something that accompanies or is a result of my thankfulness. We should be able to say things like this and explain it. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we can learn from Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and their giving of thanks, as we find it in these verses. So follow along. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1356. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say this: "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." My encouragement, my challenge for all of us today is that we'd be seeking to give God thanks for one another, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we seek to give thanks for one another, we can learn from what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy said in these verses to the Thessalonians. Now, before we consider in verse 2 how these three men made mention of the Thessalonians in their prayers, I want us to focus first of all on the nature of their thanksgiving. And let's just consider a few simple but very important observations. Look at what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy say in verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all." Just a very short phrase, or we could call it a sentence, but it's not even a sentence really. "We give thanks to God always for you all." So let me bring to your attention something that I've already mentioned. It wasn't just one man who gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians, right? How many men gave thanks for the Thessalonians that we find testimony to in this passage? Was it two men that gave thanks for the Thessalonians? How many? It was three men, right? You can give me their names: Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. These three men, as I've mentioned before, if you've been able to join us in previous times as we've studied 1 Thessalonians, but if not, let me tell you just a little bit about Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. We could call Paul basically the lead church planter of this church that was founded in Thessalonica. Paul came with some co-workers, but Paul really headed up the work as he shared the gospel in Thessalonica. So we could call Paul the lead church planter in that city of Thessalonica. And humanly speaking, we could say Paul was the man that really had a great impact on the people of that city and was responsible for the founding of that church, although we know that God is the one that's ultimately responsible. Paul was just an instrument that God used. But Paul played a great role in the founding of that church. But Paul didn't do it alone. Silvanus was what we could call his right-hand man. And Silvanus, if we go to Acts 15 and verse 22, Silvanus is called the chief or a leading man among the brethren. So he was a spiritual leader. We find he is a prophet. We find that in Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. So Silvanus, or Silas as we know him otherwise, he's a godly man, a spiritual man. He loved God. He loved people. But then the third man, Timothy, I believe he was a younger man, the youngest of the three, but God worked mightily in Timothy's life. It was Timothy who worked with Paul and Silas and perhaps others as they planted the church in Thessalonica. But those men were forced to leave prematurely. But Timothy came back and visited the Thessalonian church later and encouraged them and found out how they were doing spiritually. And then Timothy went back to Paul and Silas and told them the Thessalonians are doing well. They're continuing in their steadfast walk with the Lord, and they haven't denied their faith. So it was Timothy that brought that word back to Paul in Corinth. So it was Paul and Silvanus and Timothy who together join in giving thanks to God for these Thessalonian believers. So it wasn't just Paul that gave thanks. I mean, it would be enough if Paul just himself said, "I thank God for you Thessalonians." But it was Paul along with Silvanus, along with Timothy, that together joined in giving thanks for the Thessalonian believers. These three men, we can safely say, these three men loved the Thessalonians. They poured their lives, at least a certain amount of their lives, you know, a few weeks or however long they were in Thessalonica, they poured effort and energy into sharing the gospel and teaching in Thessalonica, building up that church. So these three men worked together in Thessalonica, but these three men now from a distance are giving thanks together for the Thessalonians. And how that must have encouraged the Thessalonians, but also how pleasing that was in God's sight for these three men to be united together in thanksgiving for the Thessalonian believers. Now, who is it that these three men gave thanks? Who did they give thanks to? We know it was to God, wasn't it? We give thanks to God always for you all. So they gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, these three men realized that it was God who had brought the Thessalonians into this world. God is the one responsible for their birth and their life, their physical lives. These three men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, would have recognized that it was by God's grace and God's leading that they were able to enter the city and share the gospel. They would have recognized it was God who worked in the Thessalonians' lives and recognized these Thessalonians didn't always trust in Jesus. There were a number of Thessalonians that were pagan idol worshippers before Paul ever met them, or Timothy or Silvanus ever met them. There were some that were Jewish people that hadn't trusted in Jesus yet. But it was God who brought these men to the Thessalonians. It was God who convicted the hearts of these Thessalonians so that they trusted in Jesus. It was God who opened their spiritual eyes so that they saw who Jesus was. It was God who saved the Thessalonians. It was God who gave them eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. It was God who made them new creatures in Christ. It was God who did a great work in them and was continuing to do a great work in them. So it was God, right? God who richly blessed them. It was God who showed His grace. And so to whom must thanks be given? It must be to God, right? Because God had done all of this. So Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, recognizing all this, they gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians. All the glory goes to God. Now, did Paul and Silvanus and Timothy just give thanks to God for the Thessalonians once or twice? Was their thanksgiving sporadic? And we look at the verse, they say, we give thanks to God, what's the next word? Always. They give thanks to God always for the Thessalonians. So it wasn't just a hit-and-miss type of thanksgiving. No, their thanksgiving was an ongoing, a continuous giving of thanks. They thanked God for the Thessalonians always. And some might say, well, that word always kind of communicates an attitude of thanksgiving, and that's a way to describe it. But I'm not sure if that's the best way to describe it. I think Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they were very intentional, if we could say that. They were very intentional in their giving of thanks. Remember, these three men, it hadn't been very long since they were forcibly thrown out of the city, basically. And so this was a relatively young church, and I'm sure these three men would have loved to have stayed there longer with their family, the Thessalonians who had trusted in Christ. But Paul and Timothy and Silas were forced to leave far sooner than they would have liked. And so it's just probably a number of months that had passed now as this letter has been written and sent to the Thessalonians, and the Thessalonians are now hearing this, what Paul and the others had written. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, and Paul, as he's voicing what he's writing here, Paul, very fresh in his mind and in his heart, he probably sees the faces of the Thessalonian believers. Their names are fresh in his mind, and maybe, you know, they come rolling off of his tongue. And Paul, I think, was still amazed at the great thing God had done in the midst of the Thessalonians, how God had turned many of the Thessalonians from idols, idol worship, to the true and the living God. So no longer were these Thessalonians the objects of God's wrath. They were God's blessed children now. And here's Paul. He loves the Thessalonians, and Silas does too, and Timothy. And these men are concerned for the Thessalonians. I think their mind continually went to them and was thinking upon them. And Paul was standing in awe of what God had done. And as he thought about the work of God in the Thessalonian church, how could he do anything but give thanks for what God had done? And continually bring thanks to God for what he had done. The work that was manifested in the Thessalonians. So the Thessalonians, they hadn't forsaken Jesus. They're still living for Him with all their hearts. And Paul was thankful. So time and time again, Paul said, I thank you, God, for the Thessalonians. I thank you for how you're working in their lives yet. I thank you for how they're devoting themselves to serving you. And notice, too, as we look at that first phrase, we give thanks to God always But then what does it say? For you all. So it wasn't just one or two or three of the Thessalonians that they gave thanks for. It wasn't just those that we'd call super spiritual. I'm not all that pleased with that phraseology, but you get what I mean, right? So it wasn't the super spiritual people that Paul and Timothy were giving thanks for. No, it was all of them. So it wasn't those that, there are certain people that you get along quite well with, right? You know, your personalities, they just go along really well. Or there's certain people, it seems like, they get along with everybody. But then, do you understand what I mean when I say there are certain people that it seems like they have a personality that kind of rubs you the wrong way, and it seems like there's more grading going on as opposed to smooth waters. But Paul and Timothy and Silas, they gave thanks not just for the ones that were easy to get along with and the, what we call the spiritual ones. No, they gave thanks for every single Thessalonian. Whether they had a great personality or not, whether they had this or that problem or not. And none of us are perfect. We realize that. And Paul realized that. And God thanked God. And Paul gave thanks to God for all of the Thessalonians, each and every one of them. So Paul and his friends gave thanks for the Thessalonians continually. He gave thanks for them all, each and every one of them. And that's a testimony to God's grace in Paul's life, in Timothy's life, in Silas's life, that they were able to give thanks in this way. So we've considered just one little phrase here. We give thanks to God always for you all. And just pausing here, how we've been encouraged and challenged already just by that one little phrase in the Scriptures. So we can ask ourselves, do we unite together with other believers offering thanks to God? Okay, we individually should give thanks to God, but do we unite together with others and give thanks to God with others? Do we give thanks to God for how He's working in other people's lives, how He's working in our brothers and sisters' lives? Do we give thanks to God for other believers continually, without discrimination? Questions that we must ask ourselves. And if we ask ourselves and we reply honestly, we must say, I have a lot of work to do, but by God's grace, I'll continue to grow in giving thanks as I should. So here is Paul and Silvanus and Timothy giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians. But how exactly did they give thanks to God? Well, they gave thanks to God by making mention of them in their prayers to God. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If you are thankful for what God is doing for someone, or you're thankful for certain people, doesn't it make sense that you would go to prayer to God then and thank God in your prayers for them? That makes sense, doesn't it? So here's Paul and his friends thankful to God for the Thessalonians, and they made a practice of coming to God in prayer and thanking God in their prayers for the Thessalonians and others as well. And it wasn't just a fleeting mention of the Thessalonians. It wasn't just a mention in passing. And that's clear from what we read here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul was thankful to God for the Thessalonians. He was thankful for what God had done in their lives. And so Paul made a practice of going to God in prayer and thanking Him explicitly and forthrightly and intentionally thanking God for the Thessalonians and God's grace in their lives. So whenever Paul mentions the Thessalonians in prayer, I don't think it was just, he didn't just have this abstract concept as he prayed to God, well, I thank you for the Thessalonians, and I don't think he just left it there. He gave specific reasons or specific, he was specific in his prayers for the Thessalonians. So that's why I would say it's not so much an attitude of thanksgiving, although we could say it's an attitude of thanksgiving. It seems much more than that. Paul took concerted effort in coming before the throne of grace, and he thanked God for the Thessalonians in a very specific way. So Paul didn't just tell the Thessalonians, I thank God for you. It's easy for us to say to one another, well, I thank God for you. And those might just be words coming off of our mouths. But do we actually go in prayer to God and say to God, I thank you for the Thessalonians, and I thank you for this way you're working in their life? And here's Paul and his fellow workers, and they were men of prayer. And when they prayed, I'm sure they thought of God's grace in their brothers and sisters' lives. And I think that they probably prayed for the individual Thessalonians by name. Probably at times too, just praising God and thanking God for them as a group also. But if we'd follow Paul and Silvanus and Timothy in their thankfulness for the Thessalonians, then what are we going to do? If we are truly thankful for one another, we've said that we're thankful for one another here, what are we going to do then? In our times of prayer, then we're going to be intentional in thanking God for one another. So we'll come to verse 3 now. And we realize that as Paul and Silvanus and Timothy give thanks to God for the Thessalonians, they remembered specific things about the Thessalonians and specific ways that God was working in their lives. And, you know, they were showing Christ in certain ways. So they remembered the Thessalonians' work of faith and labor of love and endurance of hope. Look there at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Whenever we see that word remember or remembering in the Scriptures, many times that word remember doesn't just mean that we recollect something mentally, that we bring something to mind and that's it. Many times in the Scriptures, this idea of remembering involves bringing something to mind, but then acting on what has been brought to mind. So as Paul and his friends gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians, yes, they thought of God's work of grace in the Thessalonians' lives, but they remembered specific ways that the Thessalonians were living for God. They remembered their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience or endurance of hope. And as they brought these to mind, how the Thessalonians were working for God and how they were enduring, then what did they do? That remembrance really caused them to give thanks. It's kind of a circle, isn't it? It feeds together. So they make mention of the Thessalonians in their prayers. They thank God, making mention, and then remembering without ceasing their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. So Paul and Silvanus and Timothy giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians, continually remembering what God had done for them by His grace. So, first of all, what did they remember? They remembered without ceasing your work of faith. I think that work of faith communicates the idea that their work was motivated by their faith. Their work was motivated by their faith. Now, one time the Thessalonians, and keep in mind there were some Thessalonians that formerly were idolaters. So those Thessalonians probably looked to the gods, with a little g, to the gods for their help. Whenever they had a problem, they'd go to the gods. Or maybe there would be some that would go to Caesar for help. But now instead of worshiping the gods, instead of viewing the gods as the ones who were the answers to their problems, the Thessalonians who had trusted in Jesus were now going to God the Father and trusting in Jesus. So an incredible change had happened there. The Thessalonians had trusted in Jesus as Savior. They had believed on Him to the salvation of their souls. And it was that faith, that saving faith, that now motivated them to do their work. So in that Thessalonian church, there were all different types of people in that church, just like today in our church, all different types of people. I realize some of us, some of you have retired. I haven't retired yet. But looking back to those past days, you know, and even when you're retired, you still do work, right? So in that Thessalonian church, there probably were a number of slaves that served their earthly master. So maybe some of the slaves did house chores. Maybe some of them were out in the fields plowing or harvesting crops. Those slaves, as they worked, their work was now motivated by their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul gave thanks for that. Perhaps some of the Thessalonians were rich people, that whether it was merchants or maybe they had a great large inheritance. But as they did work, whatever sorts, they were motivated in their work by their faith in Jesus. Maybe there were some stonemasons, there were metalsmiths. As they did their work, they were motivated in their work by their faith in Jesus Christ. But not all work is just what we would consider secular work. As the people in that Thessalonian church visited widows and orphans, as they fed meals to people in need, why did they do that? They did that, they were motivated because of their faith in Jesus Christ. As they preached the gospel, as they spent time in prayer, they did so. Why? Because they were motivated by their faith. So no longer were the Thessalonians, and we're speaking in general terms, I believe, Paul giving thanks as he remembered how the Thessalonians had this work motivated by faith. So no longer were the Thessalonians motivated by selfish ambition. No longer did they have a misdirected effort to please the gods. No longer were they just wanting to get the money or whatever. They were motivated because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They worked because they were believers in Christ. That's what motivated them. I'm reminded of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. We know these verses quite well, no doubt. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are not saved by works, but once we are saved, God wants us to work. And he wants us to work because we are believers. The motivation should be because of our faith. Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 6 of Galatians, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." But then notice what he says here, "but faith which worketh by love." So our faith should motivate our work. Now we go to the book of James, and I realize James has been misunderstood by quite a few people, but here, James chapter 2, what he says is so very true. Verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and not have works? Can faith save him, or can that kind of faith save him?" And then he goes on to give an example. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So James is saying here, if you see a brother or sister in need, they're hungry, they're without clothing, and you just say to them, may your stomach be filled, may you have warm clothes on, but you don't do anything to help them in their need, what good does that do? And the answer is, it does no good at all. And James goes on to say, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So true faith, living faith in Jesus Christ, will produce works. We're not saved by works, but as believers, we must do works that are pleasing to God, and we do these works because we are motivated by our faith in Jesus Christ. So the Thessalonians had trusted in Jesus, and now the work they did was motivated by their trust in Jesus. Could the same be said of us? Can others give thanks to God for us because we work out our faith? Is our work motivated by our belief in Jesus? If we're honest with ourselves, I imagine, if not in the present, at least in the past, at one time, we did work motivated by something else, right? Maybe it was selfish ambition. Maybe we wanted people to see us and we wanted to get a name for ourselves. Maybe we worked because we wanted the money or we wanted a desire for comfort. We have to admit, our motivations are always not what they should be, or aren't always what they should be. But as believers in Christ, we should not be working to get a name for ourselves. We shouldn't be working just to get a comfortable lifestyle, or we shouldn't be working just to get the money. We should be working because we are believers in Christ, and that's what motivates us. So as we see this working out in other people's lives, let's give thanks to God for that. And hopefully other people, when they see us working, in whatever way, they can give thanks to God for us because our faith is motivating our work. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they thank God for the Thessalonians. They remembered their work of faith, but they also remembered their labor of love. Now, just as with their work of faith, I believe that their labor of love was motivated by their love. Now, that word labor, if you would go back to the language that Paul wrote in, that word labor is different from the word work. Many would say that the word labor is a more intense word. And even in the English, labor seems more intense than work, right? So what's involved with labor? It's maybe communicating more hardship or more toil, more sweat being expended. We could maybe call it toil or intense, even painful work. Work that's far from easy. And Paul, as he remembered the Thessalonians' labor that was motivated by love, Paul gave thanks. Paul couldn't do anything other than give thanks, really. He knew this was not self-centered labor. It was labor that was motivated by love. Just as we read earlier in Galatians 5, remember what Paul said? Faith which worketh by what? By love. So faith produces good works, and as you do those good works, it should be motivated by love, right? So we see all this works together. Now, we can't say specifically what kind of labor they did. Maybe some of the things I've said before, as far as the type of work they did, maybe that's to be identified with their labor as well. But what is clear is that Paul remembered their labor, and he knew without any doubt it was motivated by love. Once again, I think he's speaking in general terms. The Thessalonians, generally speaking, were hard workers, and their work was motivated, their labor was motivated by love. Now, does this mean that everybody in the church loved as they should have? Or that everybody in the church labored as they should have? And the answer is clear as we go down to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And here Paul says to the Thessalonians, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." So the Thessalonians, they were doing a great job at loving their brothers in Christ, not only in their own city of Thessalonica, but throughout all of the province of Macedonia. But Paul goes on to say, keep on growing more and more, increasing more and more in your love for one another. And then he goes on to say in verses 11 and 12, "And that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." And if we'd go to 2 Thessalonians, we'd realize there were some in the church that were not working as they should have. But yet that does not keep Paul from giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians' labor motivated by love. Let's focus on this word love for just a little while. What is love? We can talk about biblical love, true love, and we can say true biblical love is not selfish. Now, the world's concept of love oftentimes is selfish, but true biblical love is not selfish. True biblical love does not look out for its own interests. True love involves sacrifice. True love looks out for the good of others. True love involves action, and that's the type of love that characterizes the Thessalonians. This love was nothing less than the love of God produced in them by the Holy Spirit of God. So this love that was active in the Thessalonians, no doubt it was love toward God, but also love toward one another. As the Thessalonians labored, they were motivated by love. Was it love for God, or was it love for others? Or can we say it was one or the other? Really, it should be both, shouldn't it? As they worked, they were loving God, and they were loving one another, too. I believe that was the case. And Paul, as he remembered this labor of love of the Thessalonians, Paul gave God thanks. So a lot more could be said, but let's continue to move on. As Paul and Silvanus and Timothy gave God thanks for the Thessalonians, he remembered their patience of hope. That word patience could be translated endurance or steadfastness, and I think that's the better idea here. The Thessalonians were enduring even though the weight was hard upon them. They had burdens, and they were oppressed and persecuted. So Paul remembered the Thessalonians' endurance. It was endurance motivated by what? It was motivated by hope in Jesus Christ. Their hope was motivated, it was founded in the person of Jesus. So just like their work was motivated by faith, their labor was motivated by love, their hope, or their endurance rather, was motivated by their hope in Jesus Christ. Now as we read through this letter of 1 Thessalonians, we just see a snapshot of some of the afflictions that were heaped upon the Thessalonians. Now as I mentioned before, keep in mind how Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were basically forced out of the city before they wanted to leave. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. What does Paul say concerning the Thessalonians? ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in what? In much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. We go to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, or which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying you're following the example of the Judean churches. Now the Judean churches have also suffered similar things, let me just read what it says here. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So the Judean churches suffered opposition and they had affliction from their own people. The unbelieving Jews afflicted the believing Jews. Paul says of the Thessalonians, who are believers, you have endured afflictions from your own Thessalonians, the unbelieving Thessalonians. They've suffered for the cause of Christ. Chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, we read in verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Notice verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. The Thessalonians, they were having hard times. They were being afflicted. They had persecutions and opposition. One more passage, 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 1 and 2. Paul says this to the Corinthian church. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Philippi was in Macedonia. Thessalonica was in Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So Paul telling the Corinthians, those churches in Macedonia, which no doubt includes the Thessalonian church, they had a great trial of affliction. So the world was pressing down hard upon the Thessalonian believers. The lost were persecuting them. They were opposing them. They were afflicting them. But did the Thessalonians, did they collapse under that burden of opposition? They didn't collapse. They didn't give up. They were enduring. They were holding up under the burden, the opposition, that affliction by God's grace and His strength. They endured. They kept pressing on. They were steadfast. They didn't deny Jesus. They kept walking with Him. So how did they hold up under that pressure? They endured because of their hope in Jesus. They were assured that Jesus was their Savior. He knew that Jesus was the judge and He was returning. They knew Jesus was in control, and one day Jesus would return and they'd be with Him and Jesus would set things right. So Jesus was the hope of the Thessalonians, and that hope that they had in Jesus caused them to stand up and endure the affliction and the hardship and the opposition, and that led Paul to give thanks to God as he remembered their endurance of hope in Jesus. Now, how about us today? I don't think any of us have experienced what the Thessalonians experienced. Now, maybe in years to come, we will experience that. And by God's grace, may we endure, may we hold up under those oppositions, just as the Thessalonians did, and may we endure because we have our hope, our confident assurance in Jesus. So as Paul remembered these things concerning the Thessalonians, he gave thanks to God for them. And Paul goes on to say, it's in the presence of our God and Father. It's a little difficult to understand how that phrase fits in with what Paul is saying. But we do know that whenever Paul prayed to God, whenever he gave thanks to God, Paul was coming before the throne of grace. Paul was in a very real sense in the very presence of God. And so all that he said in thanksgiving to God regarding what the Thessalonians were doing and how the Thessalonians were working by their faith and laboring by their love and enduring by their hope in Jesus, all that Paul said in thanksgiving to God, Paul was saying it in the very presence of God. Now let's move on to verse 4. We'll consider another important truth that's related to this thanksgiving of Paul and his friends. As Paul and his friends gave thanks for the Thessalonians, they knew something with great certainty. They knew the reality of the Thessalonians' election of God. Verse 4, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Now, whenever I say that word election, I hope nobody is cringing, but there are believers that would cringe whenever they hear that word election, or if they would hear the word predestination. And there would be some believers that would be so bold as to say, I do not believe in election. I do not believe in predestination. But let me tell you very honestly and forthrightly, election and predestination are biblical doctrines. And we must not deny the word. There is a lot of confusion out there. What is biblical election? What is biblical predestination? Well, honestly, I don't have the time to explain it all to you right now. Even if we were here all day, I couldn't explain it all to you. I don't know if any of us can understand fully what's involved in election and predestination, but they are biblical truth. So the Thessalonians were chosen by God to salvation. The Thessalonians were not chosen by God to salvation because of anything that they had done or anything that they would do. They were chosen of God to salvation by an act of His infinite love and His infinite wisdom. They were chosen to salvation by God's perfect will. Now, as we focus in on election and predestination, let me just read a couple passages for you. Paul wrote to the Ephesian believers, and he said this in chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But he says in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now we could spend a long time on that passage in Ephesians, but do you notice how Paul gave thanks to God, even as he recognized the truth, that he and the Ephesian believers had been chosen of God in Jesus, even before this world was created. How he and the Ephesians had been predestined even to the adoption of children by Jesus. And it's all according to God's good pleasure, and it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Let me read for you one passage in the book of Romans, Romans 8, verses 28 through 30. No doubt verse 28 is familiar, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But then Paul goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I'd love to talk a lot more about the Ephesians passage and the Romans passage and a lot of other passages. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy thanked God for the Thessalonians. And as they thanked God for the Thessalonians, they knew that the Thessalonians were chosen of God to salvation. They knew that the Thessalonians were the objects of God's love. We read here, knowing beloved brethren, or brethren beloved, your election of God. So Paul knew without any doubt in his mind that these Thessalonians were loved of God. He knew that God had chosen the Thessalonians even before the foundation of the world. God chose them to be in Jesus long before they were ever born. And God gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians because Paul knew God chose them to be saved. Now, how did Paul know that? How did Paul know that the Thessalonians, these believers, were elect, that they were chosen of God? Well, we continue reading down through the passage, verses 5 through 7. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So how did Paul know that the Thessalonians were elect of God? Well, Paul knew that the Thessalonians had trusted in Jesus the Savior. They were believers in Christ. And so knowing that they were believers in Christ, he's able to say, looking back, they were elect of God. They were chosen of God. So they accepted the word, so Paul could say without any doubt, you have been chosen of God. And that happened before time began, but Paul can say with certainty, because you trusted the Word, because you accepted Jesus as your Savior, I know beyond any doubt you have been chosen of God. And Paul gave thanks to God for that. So as we think about ourselves, how thankful should we be for God's love, for God's wisdom, for God's choice to save sinners? Now, we don't know why God chose me and why God chose you if you've trusted in Jesus. Why God didn't choose others. We could name others that God did not choose. We don't know why God made that choice. But we do know that God chose in His love and in His wisdom to save some. And we're thankful for that. I'm thankful that God chose me. I don't know why, but I'm thankful that He chose me in His love. He chose me before the foundation of the world. If you've trusted in Jesus, you can look back and you know that God chose you before the foundation of the world in His love. Why? We don't know. It's God's grace. It's His love. It's His wisdom. So the incredible greatness, the incredible wisdom and love of God. And how amazing is that grace and that mercy. And how thankful we should be. God loves me. God chose me. He's changed my life. So today our minds and our hearts have been directed to God. We've been challenged to thank God. We should thank God today for who He is. He is good. He is merciful. He is wise. He is sovereign. We should thank God for what He has done. He's created this world. He's done great things in our lives. We should be thankful for people, for family and friends, but also we should be thankful for the spiritual family. Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians a long time ago. May we today thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ in this very building. May we thank God continually and without discrimination. May we constantly go to God in prayer with our thanksgivings for one another. May we remember one another's work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in Jesus. May we be mindful of our election of God. And, you know, we look out at one another, and I hope we can say, I give thanks to God for you. So, Cleve, I give thanks to God for you. And as I've looked at you, and as I've seen God working in your heart, I can say you are motivated by your faith. You're motivated by your faith in Jesus Christ. You're motivated as you work hard by your love for Jesus, your love for God, your love for others. You endure, and I don't know all the hardships you've gone through, but you have endured because of your hope in Jesus. You know, can we say that of one another? Can we voice in our prayers to God, I thank God for so-and-so, Cleve by way of example, or we can say any number of other believers, I thank God for this person because of these specific reasons. You know, that's the way to give thanks to God, right? So as we thank God in this way, as others hopefully are able to thank God for us in this way, we realize we're far from perfect. We have a long ways to go, so maybe I don't always endure as I look to Jesus. Maybe I'm not always working, motivated by my faith and my love. We're far from perfect, and others are far from perfect, but we can still give thanks to God for these things. We can give thanks to God. So may God give us grace to grow in these areas as we think of ourselves. May God give each other grace to grow in these areas. But let's thank God for each other. I say, I thank God for you. And I ask God to help us to live for Him. I ask God to help us to give thanks to Him for each other. May we be grateful for what God is doing in each one of our lives. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Heavenly Father, we today have been challenged and encouraged by your word. We see how Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were thankful for the Thessalonian believers. They had great reason to be thankful. They specifically came in prayer to you many times, giving thanks for the Thessalonians. And they were remembering, even as they gave thanks, they were remembering how they did work based on their faith. They were motivated by their faith and their work. And they labored hard. And that was motivated by their love. And they endured under greater affliction, even as they hoped in Jesus. They knew how the Thessalonians were chosen of God even before this world began. And they were thankful for that. So help us as we give thanks for one another. to be mindful of these things and to even give thanks in a similar way and in other ways as well. So help us to be a thankful people. Help us to be growing in these areas. We pray these things in Jesus' glorious name.